Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Time for an update from KEFI now. Harry Anagnostaris Adams joins us. A good news release out today from you guys, Harry. All systems go there on the Tulu Kapi Gold Project by the looks of it. Tell us a little bit more about where we're at.
Well, it's basically everybody working extremely hard to sign on the dotted line and launch the project next month. So complex transaction, a dozen or so parties or sets of parties involved, lots of corralling going on and lots of lawyers involved, but nobody's trying to slow anything down. So it's all good, really. Just laboriously working all the, through all the detail and ticking the boxes.
So a key aspect is, of course, the bank finance. Tell us a little bit more about that. There are two major banks involved, as I understand it, there's been some significant progress there.
Well, yes, the major development banks are sort of first cabs off the rank in countries which are launching a new sector. And gold is a new sector for Ethiopia in terms of a major industrial sector. And we're the first bankable project in the gold sector in Ethiopia. So it's been an arduous, long journey to prepare a project as the first banked project for a country. And on that journey, we had one bank who is a sort of like an Ethiopia expert, very close to the country and deals in the country daily. It approved the transaction completely early 24. And the second bank, which is a mining bank, so to speak, from West Africa, operates throughout the continent, but a mining expert bank, it approved the project finally early this year, 25. And therefore, because it was now a larger offering, being offered 70% of the development capital, 240 million development loans, the first bank had to refresh its approval. So that's a bit, convoluted. But basically, the important thing was the refreshing, the formal refreshing of that approval from a year ago. Now of the enlarged facility, and that has also come through. So, whilst I wasn't nervous, clearly it was a critical thing to happen, and one should never take these approval processes for granted. Nobody should. But it coming through was great, and it just reinforced the fact that we've lit the fuse for closing the transaction, and we're now on the road to complete the launch, which we hope to do next month.
Yes, as I read the release, I was going to say it looks like you're going to get the final sign off in September.
Yeah, well, the signings start this month, but as I say, there's a dozen sets of parties, and so the sign offs. We're already circulating documents for sign-offs to begin. At the same time, wrapping up the final numbers as they've come through from the plant side and the other sides of the project for signing off fixed price lump sum. So signing off all the final numbers, circulating documents for execution, that's all happening as we speak. But realistically, to get all sets of parties completely signed off is going to take us into September, where we should be able to trigger launch.
And so there has already been some significant activity on the ground already, though, hasn't there, Harry? I mean, you talk about that in today's release in terms of security, resettlement programs, and various other aspects like that. How's all that been going?
Well, that was partly the trigger. There are a couple of triggers to this moment. One was, if we go back 3 years and rush forward again quickly, there were three critical conditions precedent that we all agreed when we decided to start preparing launch again after the end of the civil strife inside Ethiopia over 3 years ago. And at that time, we said we wanted security installed as if this was a red zone, even though it's not a permanent red zone. It flashes risk occasionally, and we wanted permanent, security apparatus for a red zone permanently. Secondly, we wanted exchange control exemption formally in the form of proclamation. Thirdly, we wanted our second bank to be made a country member in legislation. This is a very, feel like, demanding process of due diligence. And over the course of that period, all three things were achieved, if I can put it that way. And in particular, that last one of the country membership in legislative form was done in May this year. Upon that, it really set the scene for us to trigger, and therefore, initial construction camp, initial security camp, waterbore drilling, a new road being punched through, preparing areas for resettlement people to be moved to, agreeing the numbers with the first phase of resettlement, agreeing to pay the first resettlement. It was sort of like a trigger for us when that third thing was accomplished in May. And everything's been rolling since. And it's good to see a momentum building, where we're seeing the momentum one likes. When one goes into the final stages of such a large transaction anywhere in the world, you see anxiety and nervousness and excitement build, obviously, amongst all stakeholders and then everybody else watching from the sidelines. Some of that excitement and anxiety, expresses itself in negative ways. Some of that expresses itself in positive ways. But it's anxiety and excitement, whichever way you look at it. And when the closer and closer one gets to the launch, the more and more the excitement is a positive, and suppresses the critics for whatever reason. And it's been a long journey, and therefore it's good to see, the on the ground, it's excitement, it's palpable. And I can understand that, there's a lot of people who've been backing us for a long time, and they need to see it to believe it, and that's understandable. Everyone's entitled to whatever risk management criteria they wish to apply to anything, but it is on the ground, it's very exciting, and it's wonderful to be in this position finally.
Yeah, it's going to be great to see that launch happen after all this time. Are you able to tell us a little bit about the timetable going forward then, Harry? I mean, once you have launched it, how long is it going to take to build the project, and when do you expect to be producing the gold?
Well, the timetable and schedule for the Tulu Kapi project open pit development is 24 months. Fortuitously, we seem to be kicking off in the beginning of the dry season. Not that we couldn't kick off at other times, but that's handy. And therefore, we'll make physical activities a bit easier in preparation for the next wet. The wet isn't quite like a Northern Australian wet, but it's wet enough to, you know, slow you down on some jobs during the day. And then during that 24 months of development, the first thing is resettlement of the people. You know, and different projects have different sort of starting points. This one has a community to resettle before one can run bulldozers over their land, obviously. That's the first months, during which time there's procurement and fabrication commences in factories around the world of the different components for the plant. At the same time, a lot of tendering on the subbies for the civils that will start after the community's been resettled. So civils commence early in the new year, starting with things like the runway, airplane runway on the site. And the resettlement completes early in the new year of all of the people. You then see gear starting to arrive during the course of next year, mining gear starting to arrive at the beginning of 27. Mining commence. You only need the mining contractor on the ground 6 months before. 6 months before production, because there is no real overburden to be concerned about, straight into the ore. Operational readiness means recruitment, training, systems, quite a huge effort. A very large team on that, which shareholders perhaps are not aware of, but they're all terribly looking forward for all of that. And, you know, being able to address all the systems preparation and training that needs to be undertaken. 90% of the people plus will be local employees trained up for the jobs. So training is a big ask during those 2 years, but, you know, we'll try it and tested systems for that. What else? During that fairly, if you like, I don't know, militaristic linear execution program, one will also look at second stage issues such as the underground development. We'll finalize planning the decline, and we'll look forward to triggering a decline down to the underground development as soon as the studies are done and everything's looking ready for it. It's a wonderful time, obviously, to have the opportunity to start a gold project in such a price environment. You know, this is only twice in my working life that I've had the opportunity to launch a business in a new sector, which is taking off at a record gold price. And we did very well, the people that we did that with in previous time in my working life, and this is an opportunity to do that again today. You know, it is quite remarkable that to me, you know, working with a team so hard to work through in-country issues, most of which are not really under our control, to get the project to the point where you can launch, to get things under direct control so you can run. And at the same time, the gold price has gone through the roof. So it's really quite a wonderful feeling.
Yeah, very nice to have that high gold price, isn't it, Harry? To close us out, perhaps you could just give us a few numbers related to the project in regard to that gold price. Perhaps you could just talk about the rate of production that you plan, and also the potential EBITDA or any other sort of revenue numbers that you feel are appropriate.
Some of the numbers I'll quote might sound a bit, you know, sort of ridiculous now, but it's important to understand how we design a project. We came along to Tulu Kapi as a bunch of Aussies with a team experienced in development and operating, let's call it Tulu Kapi style deposits in that part of the world. And we overhauled the design of the project. That's why we were invited in. In overhauling it, we designed it basically to make money at $1,200 gold if gold stayed at $1,200 flat. We picked that number because you can say today we got the number quite right because it was the lowest number in the last decade, and it's the average gold price, the average cost of production, operating expenditure per ounce globally. So we picked that to pitch the design at a conservative base. We then designed the mine around that. That's the sort of marching orders for designing the mine. It's got the grade to be able to design quite what break-even price one wants. And it's got the recovery, high-grade, high-recovery mine. And we're just talking about the bankable open pit now at the top of the system. There's more down underneath. And so start with step one. Step two is make it so that it washes its face after all debt servicing with a conventional project finance deal at around $1,400. And we do that. And one designs the cutoff grade and all the cost base around those marching orders. And then we financed. Now, we all know that we lost some years in Ethiopia when the country wobbled on us and around us. But that same discipline and design sat there waiting, if you like, for now that we can go ahead. And today, given those designs and that we have banked it and we have project finance structured around it, we now know the numbers as well as anyone could before you're actually in production. Pardon me. And that is that the all-in sustaining cost at $1,800 gold, which is what bankers assume nowadays, it's a banker's number to call it $1,800 forever, every day. And a banker has to be very conservative. They don't have any upside. They just want to get their money back with interest. So they typically assume $1,800 as a banker's gold price. At that level, it's about $1,000 an ounce all-in sustaining costs. At today's gold price, it's a bit higher because royalties kick in much higher, take the royalty effect higher, and we include that in all our all-in sustaining costs, that royalty impact. So the all-in sustaining cost bumps up to about $1,200. EBITDA will be, let's see, at that all-in sustaining cost number is roughly the equivalent of your accounting, numbers. And there's today about what is it, $1,500 margin per ounce. We're starting at about 150,000 ounces times 150, 1,500 margin. So it's a 250, 225, 250 million dollar EBITDA. Is a sort of a reasonable conservative number. That's at $3,000 gold. A bit higher, it's higher again. So year one net cash flow, putting aside accounting stuff, at today's gold price will be about $300 million. NPV at today's gold price, it's $1 billion or thereabouts. So we're launching a $1 billion value. After having had to, prepare it and tread water for a long time, we didn't just literally tread water in the sense that during that time we participated in intense negotiations and consultations to overhaul the regulatory system so that it worked for us. We needed exchange control relief and interest rates at market, not at central bank control, and a whole bunch of other things that we had to negotiate, like the parliamentary thing for one of our banks. All these things took a lot of time, and we were the first mover, so we had to do it all whilst we were sort of stuck in the mud waiting for the country to settle down. So here we are. We'll be starting at year one production is 150, a bit over 150,000 ounces. When we add the underground, it'll take it up towards 200,000 ounces. Year one production over $300 million net cash flow after everything. which should be able to repay most of the bank, facilities. And I'd love to be able to pay a maiden dividend then to help reward all of our shareholders for all this perseverance and patience, and also to start addressing the growth portfolio that we have on the books, including the underground mine.
So plenty to look forward to there, Harry. It's really good to see KEFI continuing to make such good progress in Ethiopia, and I'm sure we're all looking forward to the launch date. Thanks very much for joining us to talk us through it today, and I look forward to our next conversation when we may have even more good news to talk about.
Thank you, Alistair. Look forward to it.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.